Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
It's just not so. The science isn't there for this, and this really isn't about science. This is about rolling back women's rights. Look, 40% of women in this country have had or will have an abortion. It's a medical procedure. It needs to be safe and universally available to all women. This law is simply a vehicle to overturn Roe versus Wade.
That's Terry O'Neill of the National Organization for Women reacting to new abortion laws in the state of Nebraska. Is she right? It has nothing to do with science. It has everything to do with a stealth maneuver to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, make no mistake about it. Those who want to defend the unborn would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned. And it sounds as though the more we learn about embryology, the more we learn about the status of the fetus, of the unborn child, especially with regard to fetal pain, the less we are able to stand on that ambiguous, some very fuzzy ground that was the foundation for Roe v. Wade as a legal decision. Shouldn't we be able to, especially in our courts and our courts' consideration of the unborn, be able to take into account what we've learned about the fetus and the unborn in the last 35 plus years? Or are we consigned to 1973 science when it comes to abortion? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, April the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll start with Mary Spaulding Balsh of National Right to Life. Our subject, those two new abortion laws in Nebraska. Then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. We'll take up two issues with him. One, arguments heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court regarding student groups on college and university campuses and homosexuality. Also, a recent Wall Street Journal column titled, Is the Supernatural Only Natural? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour as well. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Mary Spaulding Balsh is State Legislation Director for National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Mary, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much.
Your reaction to what Terry O'Neill had to say, that these laws have nothing to do with science.
Well, obviously it has everything to do with science. This is the type of the argument that says, don't bother me with the facts, especially when the facts hurt your position. Here she went on to say that this is just a medical procedure, but she's forgetting someone. You know, that unborn child has a beating heart as early as 18 to 21 days. But let's not discuss the facts, because the science isn't really important when it is the very issue that we must, as a country, come to grips with. What you were saying earlier is correct. The science about the pain of the unborn child was not there back in 1973 when the Roe versus Wade decision was handed down. What we have learned in those 35-plus years is mind-boggling. Back in 1973, there was no specialty that treated the unborn child as a patient. Today, that's a very highly specialized field. The baby is now a patient, and the neonatologist is his or her doctor. When an unborn, they're doing fetal surgery in the womb to correct problems that the unborn child has prior to birth. This was not available or even known as a possibility back in 1973, and yet today it's becoming more and more commonplace to perform surgery on unborn children. And what do they do? What have they learned when they observed those children in the womb when they were trying to perform these operations? They observed that the unborn child would pull away from the noxious stimuli, from the needle, from the surgeon's tools. They would react in a way that you and I know obviously indicate that the unborn child is feeling pain. So she might want to say that this has nothing to do about with science, but that's because she knows that if we look at the science, we will see the truth and we will understand that abortion kills a living unborn child.
Tell us about these two new abortion laws in Nebraska.
Well, the one in the one dealing with the unborn child's pain is it's called the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, and basically what happened there is that the legislature in Nebraska recognized the science that is there and said that in Nebraska that they are recognizing that this unborn child at 20 weeks is capable of feeling pain, and therefore the state has a compelling interest in protecting that child, more specifically protecting that child from being killed by abortion. The other bill deals with screening for specific indications of whether or not a mother would have a mental disability to deal with abortions after an abortion after the fact.
What about the accusation that this is all about overturning Roe v. Wade? And we would agree completely, totally up front. We would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned. But do these laws necessarily, are they tantamount to overturning Roe v. Wade, as the abortion rights groups say they are?
Right. The one that I'm more familiar with is the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. That bill basically presents a new question to the United States Supreme Court, if it were to make it there, that has never been presented before. And it would be what I would refer to as an attorney, a case of first impression. The question is whether or not the new science, the fact that they now know that the unborn child has pain at 20 weeks, does that create a compelling interest of the state to protect that child? That previously the line, if you will, was whether or not the unborn child was capable of surviving outside the womb, the viability test. And what Nebraska is saying, a viability is one test, but we think with all this new science that is there, that the fact that this child has developed far enough to be able to feel pain, that the state of Nebraska says that is good enough for us to protect that child from death. It does it challenge Roe? No. It basically creates another situation where presents the question, when does the state have a compelling interest in the unborn child?
And so it's really about the state's ability to regulate the practice of abortion rather than to undo Roe as legal precedent, at this point at least.
That's correct. This bill basically asked the question was of whether or not the unborn the state of Nebraska has a compelling interest in protecting the unborn child who is capable of feeling pain.
Do you think that the abortion rights groups are concerned because if the Nebraska law, and a lot of these laws have been tested out of Nebraska, but if the Nebraska law, especially one you just mentioned, passes Supreme Court muster, it will mean that other states will say, isn't it responsible for us to express the state's interest legally in protecting the unborn who can feel pain?
I think that they would be concerned about that, but I think that their bigger concern is the idea that we actually discuss the unborn child in this abortion debate. They don't want us to think about the unborn child. As you heard the quotation before, this is a medical procedure, and they keep that's their mantra. It's a legal medical procedure. They do not want us to take off the blindfold and look at what this so-called medical procedure is. This is the killing of a living unborn child. And in the case of Nebraska, it's an unborn child at 20 weeks who's not only has a beating heart, has detectable brain waves, but is capable of feeling pain, greater pain than you and I feel, because what the science shows is that the nerve endings at that early age do not have the same protection that you and I have over our nerve endings. So their pain is even greater, more excruciating than yours or mine. But don't bother with the facts. If you just want to talk about it in a sterile circumstance where you say it's just a medical procedure, then they can continue on with the killing and never discuss the unborn child. But bills, the law in Nebraska, like the one on the unborn child's pain, says, no, we as a nation must discuss this issue in the light of day and discuss that unborn child who will be the subject of that so-called medical procedure.
So then with only a minute, it sounds as though the abortion rights advocates are saying that the science may move forward. We may learn untold things about the unborn child in the womb, but for all intents and purposes, the law must be blind to all of that new knowledge and remain in the same kind of ignorance and agnosticism claimed by the Roe court.
That is correct. In order for Roe to stand and to remain the law of the land, if you will, we can never discuss the fact that the unborn child is the one who is not only the mother, but the unborn child is a very important issue when we're discussing the pregnancy of that mother.
Do you expect them to stand up under Supreme Court scrutiny with about 30 seconds?
I do. I think that if this case makes it to the United States Supreme Court, that there are at least five sitting justices on the Supreme Court who will at least give significant consideration to the interest of Nebraska in the pain-capable unborn child.
Mary Spaulding-Balsh is State Legislative Director for National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to National Right to Life at issuesetc.org. Mary, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about several things, both of them, one, accessing his legal expertise, the other, his philosophical and theological expertise. First, the Supreme Court heard arguments today about whether or not state colleges and universities can deny subsidy and official status, that is, recognition, to student groups that bar homosexuals from membership. We'll see what Dr. Montgomery thinks about that in terms of its legal aspects. Then we will access his expertise in matters theological and philosophical to respond to a Wall Street Journal column today titled, "Is the Supernatural Only Natural?" Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, one of our listeners' favorite guests, right after this and for the remainder of the hour. Issues Etc. regular guests Paul Meyer, Ron Rhodes, and Dick Fisher are coming to St. Louis. It's the St. Louis Conference on Biblical Discernment, April the 22nd through the 24th at Grace Baptist Church in St. Charles. This national conference is sponsored by Personal Freedom Outreach. For more information on the St. Louis Conference on Biblical Discernment, April the 22nd through the 24th, visit pfo.org or call 314-921-9800.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.